food for my soul. Today has been just a wonderful day. I'm not really enjoying this part, but I have enjoyed everything up to it. And Brother Prescott preaching just fed my soul like it always does. And then Brother Barnett, every time I hear Brother Barnett preach, I am reminded of how not only a great preacher he is, but how great a prophet that Brother Lester Moore was. And you just have to ask Brother Charles about that if you don't know the story, but what a great man. And I've been enrolled, and many of y'all know, but I ain't going to go into the story, but I've been enrolled in Brother Charles's Bible school since I was probably about 13 or 14 years old. But then I do love him and appreciate him. Appreciate this church, Brother Randy. Obviously an elder, great preacher, great man of God. He's been a good friend to me, and I appreciate that so very much. And appreciate the church. And on a Memorial Day, I thought Brother Bob did outstanding this morning. He tore me up, broke me up, really. I started thinking about Arlington when he was talking, and I started thinking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I was very fortunate at the time that I served, but I did, I got out right before 9/11, and I actually got my degree and was going back into the military as an officer when God saved me and called me to a higher army and a higher military. But I had some friends that stayed in after 9/11 that paid the ultimate sacrifice. Tears just, it's good for the soul to remember that. And I think he did an outstanding job. All day has been geared this way in my mind. And Brother Randy started the service off. If you don't mind, can you turn to Genesis chapter number 1? Appreciate all the preacher brethren and just every friend that I have here. And just appreciate you so very much. I wanna obey God, get out of the way, and just see what the Lord will do for us in this service. If you go up there to that light there at Claypool Hill, if you just go straight across, you'd go down into that where Lowe's is. But if you turn left, you're kind of driving toward the east. And I'd been driving through there, and the other morning I was up early. Actually, I'm sorry, it was the other afternoon. I was driving around praying, and I seen this church up on a hill with a steeple. And I said, man, I'd love to drive up there, you know, just higher elevation than what I was. And I'd love to drive up there, and I turned down several roads, and I couldn't get to it, just kind of right there where the Wendy's and all that is, just up higher than that. This morning, I drove past Walmart. Some of y'all don't believe there's a road that goes past Walmart, but there is. And it leads up to that Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it was a higher elevation. They wasn't having church, so I didn't know if they had God with them, but at that time, God was with me. And I hope to God that we could get to that place here tonight. I believe some already has looked up and just, if I could get to that higher elevation. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. If you don't mind, can you stand if you're physically able to, for the reading, the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter number 1, we can quote it. Verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. At the end of verse number 7, and it was so. 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. 14, and God said. 20, and God said. 24, and God said. 26, and God said. And over and over and over and over again in the words of the Lord, and God said, thus saith the word of the Lord. I won't ask you to turn here, but we could go to Revelations chapter number 22, the last chapter of the book, and in red, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. God said, God said. Early this morning when I climbed to that higher spot and I looked down about where I'd been, felt the Lord speak these words to my heart. I still have the word. You might have drug in here, been knocked down, kicked around, pushed around, every devil in hell laughing at you, but you're still here. And you can still say, I still have the word. Your children might be lost, I still have the word. The doctor might have called, I still have the word. Depression might be setting in, I still have the word. Can you stretch your hand toward heaven and ask God to anoint me? Father, I love you, Lord. Would you move in this place? Lord, would you move in this place, God? I know we've already experienced your presence, God. Lord, I'm asking you to crown this place with your glory, God. It's already been said today, Lord, let us see your glory, God. God, move in the altar service here today. Lord, we'll not fail to give you glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Church said amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing, reverence, reading the word of God. Most days, not all days, but most days, my favorite part of the day, no matter if I'm on the road in the middle of several weeks of revival, if I'm back at home getting a little time to refresh myself, or at a camp meeting or a fellowship meeting, or yes, even when I get to take vacation, my favorite part of the day most times is those early morning hours drinking a cup of coffee. Sorry if you don't believe in drinking coffee. And hoping in the word of God, Brother Randy. And reading the words of the Lord. It's not boring to me. It's not mundane to me. It's not a drudgery that I have to go through. I know this is a little different, but just bear with me. I've got to preach the burden of my heart. I love getting up and reading the Word of God before I've ever even prayed. This is my routine. Don't have to be yours. I try to read the Word of God. I try to let the Lord speak to me. I try to get into that place, that channel of grace where He can speak to me, where I try to get in there and I try to see what the Lord would deliver unto me that morning. That's one of my favorite times of the day. Day in and day out, my life is wrapped up in the Word of God. I would not be saved if it was not for the Word. I would not have my marriage if it was not for the Word. I would have not seen my children be healed if it had not been for the Word. I myself would not have come out of a hospital room, I don't think, if it had not been for the Word of God. Brother Bob started us out here this morning talking about Memorial Day, and everybody knows we are a nation that was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. I understand that there was a few scattering of what they called deists. I understand all that, but the majority of our forefathers believed in the Son of the Living God. They believed in the words of the Lord. They believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. What a day that God put forth when He allowed those to come across because of a desire to birth a nation based upon the freedom of worship and the freedom of assembly. What a day that God put in His foreknowledge and predestined. I believe that there would be a nation that would be Israel's best friend in this world. What a time. And for years, America had awakenings after awakenings. And as Brother Barnett has already said, I believe it was yesterday morning, we are past due in America for an awakening. And I believe that God still sends an awakening. That's not my message here tonight, but you would have to admit with me that America was founded on a godly heritage, on a godly grounds, but we are a long ways away. I thank God that the election in 2016 went the way it did, and the political realm experienced some sort of a revival. The economy experienced a revival, but I'm afraid it's almost had the opposite effect in the American church. For we are in a day that was prophesied in Amos when God spoke to the prophet and said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a famine of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." Is that not where we're at today, when same-sex marriage rules the playing field? Is that not where we're at today, when people in evangelical circles believe it's okay, and they're arguing the point of an abortion? My friend, we are living in a day where the Word of God seems like it's a long ways away from America, from the founding of this great nation. You can see people as you go to the store. You can see people as you pass down the road. We're living in a generation that they remember that their grandparents had a certain form and a certain power with God. But as you look upon their face, there's almost the question, does God still speak? Is there a word for me? Is the Lord still moving? Is God still moving? And I've seen it in the
holiness group. When you come into the church house, minds going every which way, all thoughts going every which way, and you can almost see in their face, will God move on my behalf? Will the Lord move on my behalf? I come to tell somebody who's down and out. I come to tell a sinner in the building. I come to tell a backslider or a church member that there is a God in heaven. And as long as the Lord is on the throne, I believe the church will always be able to say, I still have the word. I still have the word. The word of God has not forsaken me. For God himself said, my word will not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish its purpose. It's going to bear fruit. He's going to save souls. He's going to deliver people. I believe he could save in this building tonight. I believe he could save a marriage in this place tonight. I believe he could fill that with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I believe he could heal a body, heal a mind, heal somebody of their emotional battle in this building tonight. We've still got the word, church. I said we still have got the word of God Almighty. Oh, I want you to notice, friend, when the Lord started speaking to me, I need to slow down for a little bit. When the Lord started speaking to me in the middle of the, I guess, February or March, this message, I started thinking about what is in a name. I started off saying, what is in a word? What is in it? And we, of course, we know about that use of communication. We know all the things that go along with that. But as I started delving into a word, and the words that we use to communicate, I started thinking about what's behind that word. I started thinking about a name. What's in a name? What is in a name? I started wondering what it was. If you would ask somebody outside of my presence about my name, you would not get very far. Some people might have fond recollections when my name is mentioned, but I'm afraid to admit that there's others that probably would have some other kind of recollections. But Philippians tells us that there is a name that is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, I thank him for that name. At that name, demons tremble. At that name, hell shakes. At that name, sinners are converted. At that name, lives are put back together again. At that name, I'm talking about the name that's above every name. I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm not talking about George Washington. I'm talking about that name that's higher than every name. Oh, thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for that name that's exalted above every name. But oh, I started studying and I come across this scripture in Psalms 138, verse number 2. The psalmist said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I couldn't hardly contemplate that, Brother Brent Gammert. How could his name be magnified so high, but then the word of God be magnified even higher than that name? But then I am reminded both of my grandfathers. I'll mention them. It's Memorial Day. Both of them served in World War II. One as a Navy man, on a ship in the South Pacific and the other on the islands of the South Pacific. And I can remember even as a young boy, them speaking to me, that greatest generation that America's ever had. I can remember them speaking to me about that word that you give and that word that's above, even your name. You see, if somebody can't trust your word, your name's no good. If it's that way for humanity, how much more is it for the God of heaven? If we could not trust the word, if we could not hold fast to the word, that name would be what the nominal churches have tried to make it. But my friend, that word is magnified higher. It's exalted higher. It's impossible to put too much stock in the inspired, inerrant word of God. For God himself puts his word in honor. God himself protects his word. You see, his word is important to him. People act like it's no big deal. Oh yeah, they buy Bibles, but they become little weights that they hold paper with down. But my friend, God honors his word. His word is important to him. It's important to him. I don't ever want to take his word for granted. I don't ever want to take that time when we read the word of God ever granted. For it's important to God Almighty. The importance of his word. It's important to him. It's something. Can somebody give me some water? It's something that he takes great pride in his word. He's preserved his word. He's preserved it down through the generations to where you and I, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, but we could, thank you, brother. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but over the generations, he has preserved the word of God. He has preserved it when people that have risen up and said within 100 years, the word of God will no longer be read. And them great men in society's eyes have arisen, lived their lives and died, never to be remembered again. And the word of God still stands. I'm telling you about the importance of the word of God. I thank God for his spirit, and we must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying it's a prerequisite to get into heaven. I'm not saying that at all. But God told us, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. But I believe it was Vance Havner that said, I'm beware of the man or woman that's always speaking about their latest experience in the Holy Ghost, and it never gets back to the word. I believe it was F.B. Meyer that said, any religion, any church, any denomination that makes the Holy Ghost the head, they will fall into error. It was almost like he was a prophet, and he could look at some of the Pentecostal movements that America spawned and sent missionaries all over the countryside, all over the world, that are a long ways away from it. You see, we live in a day, I'm going somewhere, just bear with me, we're living in a day when Pentecostalism, it does not have the shame that it one time did. We've come out of the caves, we've come out of the backdrop, and now it's popular to be Pentecostal. You see, they like the way we worship, they like the way we sing, they even like the methods which we preach. They don't like the holiness which we preach, but they do like the methods. But my friend, they need to come a little closer and realize we are not charismatic in the world's sense, or the world's form. It must be governed by the word. It must be governed by the word of God. If it's not governed by the word of God, you'll fall into error. You'll fall into false doctrine. You'll fall in a lot of different ways if it is not governed by the word. His word is important to him. It's important to him. Oh, it ought to be important to you and I. It ought to be something that we cherish. I don't allow my kids to throw a Bible any old place they want to throw it. I don't allow my kids to act however they want. I know the kids, I understand that, but it's corrected right then because I've got respect for the Word of God, because I realize that this is God's Word and His Word is important to Him. His Word is not only important, it is internal. It's not something that's going to draw near or stop, come to a stopping point forever. Oh Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. That's what the Christ said. Isaiah said it like this, if I can find it in my notes. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I'm telling you about the eternal word of God. You've come dragging in here, and you don't think God answers prayer like He one time answered prayer. I'm telling you that God's word is eternal. It'll go forth with power. It'll go forth with deliverance. It'll go forth with victory. What have you been praying about? What have you been seeking God about? What have you been fasting about? What is that petition that's deep down inside of your heart that you don't even declare, that you don't even make known, but God sees it? It's eternal, friend. If God ever saved a drunkard, He can save your drunk lost loved one. If He's ever saved a harlot, He can save a harlot tonight. His word is eternal. It's an eternal word. It's an eternal, everlasting, white hot word of the Lord. It doesn't fade. Moses said, from everlasting to everlasting. A.W. Tozer said it like this. A better way, or another way of putting it, would be from exhaustion to exhaustion, from vanishing point to vanishing point. The mind looks behind us. That's what it is. The mind looks behind us and goes down the channels of history to the very dawning of a time until we're totally exhausted. And then it turns around and looks toward the future as far as the imagination can go. And then we utterly fade in exhaustion. But the word of our God stands on either side of that timeline, unaffected by neither. I thank God that the word is eternal. I thank God that it wasn't just for Ralph Horton's day. I thank God that it wasn't just for Bob Holden's day. Ralph Cox, Lester Moore, you put the name on it. I thank God that when they seen lost loved ones saved, when they seen a powerful move of the Holy Ghost, I thank God that we can see it in today's day and hour, because the word says, I am the Lord and I change not. He's the same yesterday, that day, and forever, forever and forever. His word is settled. Oh, lift your hands and worship God in this place. I understand we've already had a move of the Holy Ghost, and people have already been touched. But I'm trying, and Brother Randy had already kind of pushed us along this way. If we can somehow get our eyes off everything else, get our eyes on that one. His word is important. His word's eternal. His word is powerful. It's powerful. My word can't free somebody of a demonic influence. It's just my word. My word can't put a home back together again. My home can't heal somebody of cancer, migraine headaches, blood disorder, high blood pressure. My word, and as much as I respect and I love these good men and ladies around here that have blazed the trail long before you ever heard about me, their word can't do it either. But there's a word. There is still a word. And we still have the word. I said we still have the word of God. There's hope in his word. There is hope in the word of God. There's victory in his word. There's deliverance in his word. There's peace that passeth all understanding in the word of God. God, there is that joy unspeakable that you and I can climb into from the word of God for its power. I said its power. I said its power to overcome every obstacle, to overcome every demon, to overcome every trial, every trouble, every heartache, every grief. There is power in the word of God. And some of you come here, you barely drug in to the word. You merely drug in to camp meeting this year. Is there a word for me? God's word still speaks. I said his word still speaks. Is there any hope for me? God's word still speaks. Apollos, that man, he was fervent in spirit. Yes, he was. But it also said he was mighty in the scriptures. He was mighty in the word of God. He had that relationship that Brother Prescott was already talking about when he testified here just a little while ago. That relationship, that's what salvation is. It's about a relationship with the word. It's about a relationship with the word of God that'll stand the test of time. Come what may, heaven and earth will pass away. This whole world's gonna burn up with a fervent heat. There's gonna be a new heaven and a new earth. But the word of God is going to stand. That's what the psalmist said. I'll hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because a lot of things could come and go. But the word is going to stand forever. Oh, Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 18, where Jesus stands up in the synagogue, quoting that passage in Isaiah, said, "The Lord hath anointed me and anointed me to preach deliverance, to set at liberty them that are captive." Preach, except I'm messing it up. Y'all know where it is. But all down through there, the Bible says he starts healing people. And in verse number 32, the word says they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He sent his word to heal them. I said he sent his word to heal them. When this old boy was a backslidden boy, young man, 32 years old, my soul needed healing. It was the word of God that healed it. When I was in the hospital, just starting full time in the field, and it didn't look like I was going to come out of it, my liver was shutting down. They had tested me for everything under the sun. Couldn't figure out what it was. I told my wife, get my Bible. I was too weak to read for myself. I couldn't even hold up my eyes. She said, where do you want me to read? I said, go over there to the book of Hebrews. She started reading about that Lord that in times past had spoken to us by the prophets and by the law, and in these last days spoken to us by his son, the eternal word of God. For in the beginning
beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, not of will of man, not of will of the flesh, but of God. Oh, somebody worship the Word in this place. I believe the healer's in this place. Whether it's a soul, your mind, your body. You know what Sister Prescott was talking about? When she said she was going through that, she needed a healing in her emotions. I don't know what she was going through, but I've seen that pain before. And I've also seen the morning come up and the morning be turned to dancing. I've also come to the church so low. So low. I understand that song we were singing about I held on. I understand that. I've been low enough that I just held on. But there have been times I've been so low, so weak. In all reality, I just about fainted. I couldn't hold on. It was in those times when I come to a church service that I realized I wasn't holding on to the Word, but the Word was holding on to me. It was in those times when it seemed like I'd just about fallen and I wasn't going to get up. I could in no wise get up. All of a sudden, Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 started rolling over in my mind. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And then another scripture came to me, and I realized that for the people of God, there is a lifting up. You need to be lifted up in this place. It's not in a man. It's not in a movement. It's not in a denomination, but it's in the Word of God. I said it's in the Word. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone, that one that sits high and He looks down. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ear is open unto your cry. And then maybe an elder, Brother Charles Barnett, would slip up beside me. Not even know what I was going through. And he'd remind me of what the psalmist said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And then he'd say, I can't say it yet, to the disagreement of my wife and children. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what I found? I found that the power of God, the Word of God, that was as real in our forefathers' generation, has been just as real for my life, for my home, for my ministry, for my marriage, for my children. The Word. We still got the Word. You say, I ain't got very much, preacher. I'm at my wit's end. You still got the Word. Somebody ain't getting it. You don't understand why we get loud and why we rejoice. You don't understand Why tears rolling down some other face? You don't know what the devil's put them through this year. You don't know how many times the devil said, you'll never go to the house of God again. You'll never make it to 2018. But here you stand. You might be weak. You might be low. But you still got the word. I come to tell somebody that the word is alive and well. And what he's been for Brother Prescott, what he's been for Brother Barnett, what he's been for Brother Webb, we go on and on. It'll be for you in this place tonight. Brother Larry Wood, I'm almost done. I'm preaching too long. Brother Larry Wood, pastor's there at Gypsy, been pastoring there for years. His mother-in-law is a saintly, saintly, godly woman. Been a stay down there in Texas for years, holiness woman. About 3 years ago, we come in her path. She's about 90 years old. She can't do what she one time did. She come over to me, and she said, Joe? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, 40-something years ago, I was going through the storm of my life. And your grandpa come and preached. And I still remember almost every word, almost every point, almost every dot of that message. A couple weeks later, Lord forgive me right here, help me. I was in the service and I heard somebody preach. And it was good, it was exciting. 2 days later, we couldn't recall what it was. And I looked at my wife driving down the road, and I know I've been guilty of that myself. Please don't misunderstand me. And I looked down at my wife, and I said, you remember what that lady said? She said, yes. I said, that was the power of God. I love my Papa Bob. You know I did. You know I do. I've got a CD of him preaching, and he wasn't that great a preacher. He's a good preacher, but 40 years later is a long time. The CD I've got, whew, he was on a rabbit trail, but I promise you, I wasn't in the building, and his 4 eyes alive, but he hit everything that moved that night, I guarantee it. I mean, he's a holiness preacher, but I said there was something a little different about that night. You know what it was? It was the word of the Lord, the power of God that lives on. You know what? You didn't need no 3-point message in a poem, and I'm not against that. If God would deal with me that way, I'm just not that smart, Brother Horton. But what you need, when you come dragging into the sanctuary, you need a word from God. You need God Almighty to come and breathe new life into your soul. You need God to bear you up on eagle's wings, and he'll do it tonight. He is still in that kind of business. We've still got the Lord. We still got the word. Would you stand with me if you can? I believe God can heal a saint and save somebody from their backsliding in the same service. Because that's the kind of God I serve. You see, sometimes when we get in that translation of the word, sometimes it's just a word like you and I use. More times than not, it's talking about the second part, the second member of the Trinity. The Word. The Word. The Word. And God said, let us go down. I don't have time to go into the name of God right now, but God said, I believe somewhere in the throne room of heaven, he just might have looked over at God the Son and said, let us go down, because somebody needs healing. Somebody needs deliverance. Somebody needs victory. I know he preached very good tonight, but I feel the presence of God trying to pull somebody up out of their lethargy, trying to pull somebody up out of depression, trying to pull somebody up and revive that spirit that's almost died. God said, we still got the word, friend. Somebody come to the piano. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, I love Paul. Most of the time, he's so full victory. But he was an honest man. And you can almost read there in 2 Timothy as he closes off that letter, a sense of despondency, a sense of loneliness. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. When you come, due diligence. I need my coat because I'm a little cold. Bring the books that I like to read. But most of all, bring the parchments. You know what he was saying? Bring the law of Moses. Bring the minor and the major prophets. Bring that letter of James. Bring it. I need it. I need the word. In the darkest, most difficult time in his life, inside a dungeon, about to be offered up for the word of the Lord, he said, I can take it as long as I have the parchments, as long as I have the word. I've been pretty low before. I've been pretty down before. But I found that if I just had the word with me, I can take anything under the sun. If I just had the word, if I just had the power of God to breathe on me, guess what? He's trying to breathe on you, friend. I talked to a young lady today. Seemed like her husband might be slipping away. I sent him a text this afternoon, but I believe in the kind of God that has the power to go where he is right now, convict him of his sin, convict him of his backsliding, and pull him back out of the clutches of devils, out of the clutches of hell. That's the kind of power that the word of God has. Oh. You want this, Pastor? You need something. You need a word from the Lord right now. Right now. I'm not calling the church in. You're here, and you need God to move now. You need God to move now. You saying I missed it? You saying the pastor, man, I don't think so. I don't think so. I was driving up on the high road today, and I see a snake slithering across the road. I didn't swerve to miss it. I swerved to run over it because I hate snakes. You know what you need to do? You don't need to swerve to miss it. You need to step out and swerve to stop that devil that's been walking all over you. You need to step out now. Now's the time for victory. Now's the time to under deliverance. Now's the time for joy. Now's the time for peace. Now's the time to lift it up. Now's the time. God, I've got to have you now. I've got to have a word now. I've got to have the word of God Almighty now. Go ahead, sing. Come on, church. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, sis. Come on, girl.
Too hard. I am the
come on. That man of God that hit it last night. You're still in the building. You need God to move you now. You need God to move on that situation now. Step out. Let God do it. We've still got the Lord.
I am.
There's peace in His word. He'll save. He'll deliver.
I am the righteous one.
He'll deliver.
I am the ram in the bush frame.
She's singing about the word.
I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am. I am.
Oh, come on. Come on, church. Let's make an altar. Let's let the Lord have His way. Let's let the Lord heal some things.
I am.
Let's let the Lord put some things back together again.
I am Jehovah, and I